Lecture 1. Winning Words. Banished Words.
One of the many wonderful things about studying English words is that we make up new ones all the time. For example, flexitarian. Do you happen to know any flexitarians? That's probably a hard question to answer if you're not sure what a flexitarian is. This is a relatively new word created in the last decade, and you may be able to guess at its parts. It is flexible plus vegetarian, defined as a vegetarian who occasionally eats meat, or as I like to put it, a vegetarian who eats meat when convenient. This word was voted the most useful word of the year in 2003 by the American Dialect Society. It captures a new dietary approach and a cultural shift in attitudes about food. Now, if you didn't know this word before, you may now be thinking, I know people like that. Or perhaps, I am a person like that. I just never had a word for it. So flexitarian is a playful new word, but one that serves a real purpose in the language. The word of the year vote is an actual vote. Every January, the American Dialect Society Conference meets, and we vote on the word of the year. And I'm one of the folks who votes. In fact, anyone who attends the conference is allowed to vote, as well as participate in the usually very lively debate about new words that we have. And I'll tell you a bit about that vote in a few minutes, but first, let me introduce myself. My name is Anne Curzan, and I have loved language since I was a kid. I think that my very peculiar talent at Boggle may have been my first sign that I would spend my life studying language. I started learning foreign languages in junior high school, and over the years, I've acquired a range, from French and Latin to Russian and Chinese. And then in college, I discovered linguistics, and I completely fell in love. Here was a field, the systematic study of language, that allowed me to study the structure of language and the history of language. And it let me understand all those quirks that we see and hear in the language every day. At the University of Michigan, I study and teach the history of the English language, which means that I spend my days thinking about how the language works and how it changes over time. And as I move through the world, I notice all the changes in English that are happening all around me. For example, the creation of Google, first as a noun and then quickly becoming a verb, so we were Googling things. I hear height. I notice the recent use of troop to refer to a soldier. And I hear the confusion of lay and lie in the song lyric, I just want to lay in my bed. We'll talk about all these examples in the coming lectures as we explore where words come from and how they change over time. I like calling this kind of investigation exploring the secret lives of words, because what we're doing is digging below the surface of English words. We use words every day and we take them for granted. I mean, we have to, because if we're going to talk with each other, we can't think about every word we're saying and where it came from. But it's fascinating when we do pause and consider where these words came from and how they work. It tells us a lot about language and about ourselves as speakers. Now, some of you may have cringed when I said height, or I quoted the song lyric, I want to lay in my bed. These are examples of language change, exactly what we'll be talking about. And I'm struck every day by the vibrancy of our language and our creativity with it, as we exploit the riches of English vocabulary and create new words, or we change the meaning of words we already have, or sometimes we just abandon words, stop using them. Language is one of the things that makes us human. No other species, as far as we know, has this capacity for human language, for language that is infinitely creative. And it seems to be a human impulse to play with language, to use that creativity as we talk every day. There also seems to be a human impulse to worry about language and to lament the changes going on, to worry that young people are somehow ruining the language, and to think that there was some earlier moment when the language was in better shape than it's in today. In this course, we'll look at great detail at how words work and change in order to gain perspective on this concern about decay and insight into the many fascinating things happening in the language and in the human brain and in human culture. And we see all of this reflected in the history of words. There's much to celebrate and study in the unlimited human capacity to create new words and new utterances. And in fact, as I mentioned, one of the things that I do professionally is vote on the word of the year.